from WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, Saginaw has been a muse for many songwriters across the 20th century.
Well, I hate that song, Saginaw, Michigan, because it has nothing to do about Saginaw. To me, it's more about Bay City.
Find out more about the artists who hail from Saginaw and the songs that reference the city as part of our America 250 series. And it's a National Wine and Cheese Weekend, so this week's Brain Teaser will feature these two delightful pairings within the Great Lakes State. So sip back and relax, and we'll brief you on the question in just a bit. This week, the Michigan Court of Appeals reversed two more convictions related to the 2020 plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The decision follows an earlier precedent-setting ruling in a related case in which the judges determined that kidnapping does not count as a violent felony under Michigan law. The two terrorism convictions have been vacated and will be sent back to the county for further proceedings. Attorney General Dana Nessel calls the decision, quote, linguistic gymnastics, and says the cases will be appealed to the Michigan Supreme Court. The newly signed Michigan budget may overspend between $600 and $900 million. Those numbers are from the Michigan Citizens Research Council. Michigan's Constitution requires a balanced budget. Researcher Bob Schneider says policymakers are likely already planning some changes, like moving money away from business incentives or canceling some unspent budget items.
There will be a path to balance. Right now, the biggest concern from my standpoint is we're not sure what that path is, and it could involve significant changes to appropriated dollars.
Tuesday, Governor Gretchen Whitmer told reporters she believes the budget she had just signed was balanced. In response to last year's ice storm in northern Michigan, federal emergency officials have allocated millions to help local agencies and a utility co-op recover. WCMU's A.J. Jones has more.
Most of the award is going to the Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op. They serve much of northeast lower Michigan. The company says it accrued over $150 million in costs from the 2025 ice storm and took out an emergency line of credit to cover those costs. They will receive $14.7 million as reimbursement for debris removal and transformer repair. Alan Berg is the CEO of the co-op. He says he's grateful for the grant and more may be on the way.
There are many more dollars in the application phase. We have submitted over $145 million in cost reimbursement to FEMA.
In addition, the Charlevoix County Road Commission and the State Budget Agency collectively received over $1 million in reimbursements. I'm A.J. Jones, WCMU News.
Michigan is launching a crop insurance program that state officials say will be the first of its kind in the world. They say it will give farmers a discount on premiums for having healthy soil. WCMU's Emma George Griffin has the details.
Farmers spend thousands of dollars per year on crop insurance. It's something that protects them when things don't go well. Michigan's Agriculture Department is working with local nonprofits to launch an insurance program that rewards farmers for using sustainable practices. Tina Owens works for one of those nonprofits. She says crop insurance hasn't historically taken soil health into account.
It's treated like it's a concrete factory floor, when it's actually a living, breathing, integral part of what farmers grow, how much yield they get, how much water they can infiltrate.
Corn and soybean farmers in Saginaw, Tuscola, Huron, and Sanilac counties can apply to participate in the insurance pilot for the 2027 year. I'm Emma George Griffin, WCMU News.
A Northeast Michigan angler and his son are the winners of over $6,000 after catching a rare fish at the Alpena Brown Trout Festival this week. It's only the second time in 52 years of the festival that someone has caught Big Brownie. That's the top prized brown trout that is tagged and placed in Lake Huron each summer ahead of the festival. The 21-inch fish is from Cedar Brook Trout Farms in Harrisville and is one of 1,000 brown trout that were released by the fish farm this year. Scott Wade says he was fishing in the southern part of Thunder Bay when he caught Big Brownie.
Oh, it's a pretty wild feeling. Just out there trying to catch walleye and we end up with a brown trout and it's the tagged one. It's an amazing feeling.
The tournament director says he had a feeling Big Brownie would be caught this year. And the Ausable River Canoe Marathon is this weekend in northern Michigan. The 78th annual competition starts in Grayling and ends in Oscoda, taking paddlers on an adventurous 120-mile ride. It lasts around 15 hours. Marathon spokesman Phil Weiler says competitors train year-round, both physically and mentally. But he says one thing paddlers can't prepare for is motion sickness.
During the daylight, when you have a chance to focus, a lot of great paddlers are fine. You turn the lights out, and there's just a little spotlight on the front of the boat. It gives them a little something-something.
Weiler says feeder crews follow the teams along the river route to help with food, water, and medications. Racing starts in Grayling at 9 p.m. Saturday, July 25th. And now it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. Today's question is all about Michigan wine and cheese and a piece of history. Which historic Northwest Michigan landmark, originally built in 1885, was repurposed to house a winery that serves its wine alongside locally sourced cheeses? Again, which historic Northwest Michigan landmark, originally built in 1885, was repurposed to house a winery that serves its wines alongside locally sourced cheeses? Want the answer? Well, set your mind at cheese after this. Saginaw is best known for its successful manufacturing industries, but the city also has many ties to popular music from the late 20th century. As part of our series on how Central and Northern Michigan have helped shape America in our 250th year, WCMU's Kristen Kappas tells us more about artists who hail from Saginaw and the city's lyrical references.
One of Saginaw's biggest claims to fame is being the birthplace of Motown legend Stevie Wonder. Very superstitious. But aside from Wonder, many notable musicians have called Saginaw home. Among them is Sonny Stitt, a saxophonist best known for his contributions to bebop jazz. From the 1940s to the 80s, Stitt played on over 100 jazz albums. He earned the nickname Lone Wolf because he rarely worked with the same musicians for long, despite the fact he was constantly in the studio and on stage. Saginaw has also served as a muse for songwriters. In 1964, honky-tonk pioneer Lefty Frizzell put the city on the map with his song, Saginaw, Michigan, which topped the country charts for 23 weeks and even earned a Grammy nomination.
I was born in Saginaw, Michigan.
Fred Reif is the author of several books that explore Saginaw's music history. He says he doesn't know why Frizzell referenced the city because the Texan had no connection to it.
Well, I hate that song, Saginaw, Michigan, because it has nothing to do about Saginaw. To me, it's more about Bay City.
4 years later, in 1968, Simon and Garfunkel played a concert at the Saginaw YMCA. Their stint in the city later influenced the lyrics for America. While not a chart topper, the song is beloved for the sense of nostalgia it invokes.
It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America.
According to previous reporting from NPR, the lyrics were spray-painted across city structures by a group of artists in 2010. Saginaw also shows up in the Monkees discography.
Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. People say we monkey around.
Their song, If I Ever Get to Saginaw Again, was originally recorded in 1968. However, it went unreleased for decades until landing on a 1990 album chocked full of the band's unreleased songs. The track was never a mainstream hit, but over time has gained popularity among the band's fan base.
If I ever get to Saginaw again, a locale that's somewhat off the beaten track.
The historians I spoke with can only speculate why Saginaw became a common denominator in several popular songs. There's no evidence that Lefty Frizzell or the Monkees ever came to the city. Maybe Saginaw's rich industrial history made it seem alluring. Maybe the artists were trying to convey their own versions of the American dream. Or maybe Saginaw just fit the rhyme scheme.
A father's love is maybe all it takes to not repeat those sad mistakes of men. If I ever get to Saginaw again.
From Saginaw, I'm Kristen Kappas, WCMU News.
Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's Brain Teaser. To recap, we had a Michigan wine and cheese question that read, which historic Northwest Michigan landmark, originally built in 1885, was repurposed to house a winery that serves its wines alongside locally sourced cheeses? And the answer is the Traverse City State Hospital. Yes, the hospital shut down in 1989 and sat vacant for over a decade. But local developers saved the building and opened it as the Village at Grand Traverse Commons. It's home to a winery known as Left Foot Charlie, an urban winery that operates out of the asylum's old laundry building. They feature locally sourced wines and cheeses. And if you got that one right, Gouda for you! If not, no worries. Everything happens for a Riesling. That's all for the edition of Between the Lakes this week. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter, linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Schall. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.